Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of May 8th. It's cloudy this morning, but I'm feeling bright and chipper. How are you doing, Jim Allen?
Well, bright and chipper. Why don't you come stand on my balcony and light up the room, man? it's definitely gray in Tokyo, but you know, we got lots of baseball going on, so it's kind of cool. I can deal with it.
Well, it's Golden Week here in Japan, which is a series.
Golden Week.
Yeah,
right.
A series of pseudo holidays that I like to call silver days because I work right through them.
Oh, I thought as in they were old holidays for us senior citizens.
Wow. No, don't you put me in your group.
Hey, when I just turned 57, I'd be eligible for like old folks homes and stuff back when I was a kid. I was a senior citizen junior grade. But now I'm just an aspiring old, old guy.
Well, you sound good. You sound like you're well on your way.
I'm hanging in there for 60 when I get into the movie theaters for 1,000 yen by myself.
Well, let's get into the show right now. on this week's show, we've got a chat with Zealous Wheeler. Z Wheelies, I like to call him, of the Eagles. We're going to talk about Rakuten, the CLPL, and the upcoming negotiations about the new posting system, and more. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, well, on Friday morning, because it was May 5th was actually a real holiday, holiday for most people, Children's Day. I got my inner child on and went out to Cebu, the park that was formerly known as Prince.
Oh, stop with that.
I told you it was coming.
Yeah, right.
To MetLife Dome.
Where get rid of that inner child. He's really annoying.
Hashtag high heat.
Yeah, ADD is a bad thing. So I went out to MetLife Dome on the outskirts of Tokyo, where the Cebu Lions were hosting the Rakuten Eagles, and I had a chance to talk to a lot of players, but I did record my chat with Zealous Wheeler, and let's hear what the Big Z had to say.
Our guest this week on the podcast is the one and only Zealous Wheeler. Well, good. Welcome back to Japan, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and especially now, the Eagles are playing well.
Yeah, we're off to a good start.
Yeah. Best record in NBV. I wasn't expecting that.
I mean, it looks good and it sounds good, don't it?
It does. It does indeed sound good. Now, before you said the difference is you guys are playing together.
Uh-huh.
And I asked Mogi, and he said the teamwork's really good this year.
Right.
Now, when you say we're playing together, what does that mean for people who aren't watching the Eagles play every day? Can you give them a sense of what that is, how it's different from maybe how it was before?
Right. More so of the feeling,
okay.
You know. I mean, one of the first, you can tell in the first week of spring camp.
Okay.
You know, the feeling and the guys, you know, popping around, moving around, like everybody in shape, ready to go. And, I mean, you can feel it if you know baseball.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we took it over into the start of the season.
Mm.
So it looks good.
Well, as I said, when I watch you guys play, I see, like, people are really concentrating. I mean, people are taking, they're not throwing away at bats, they're not throwing away outs, they're not giving away outs. It looks really solid.
Right. You know, maybe, you know, that's hard to explain, you know.
Okay.
When a team come in the next year and be clicking together. Maybe it's our time, or who knows? But,
okay.
You know, everybody's off to a good start, and hopefully we can keep grinding and keep it going.
Now, also I heard that compared to, you know, with manager Nishida, it's very easy to play for him. I know who have played for him in the last 20 years, they said, you know, they'd run through walls for him.
Right.
And that, have you found that he's an easy manager to play for?
Correctly, 100% correct, man.
Really?
It seems like he knows my tendency, you know. When it's time to talk to Wheeler, he call me in and talk, you know, calm down, settle down, everything's all right. But, you know, he knows his players, and the players just play.
I heard one of the batting coaches, Ikeyama, told me that part of the success of the team is that everybody knows the three foreigners in the lineup are there. Mm. They're going to carry their load. Mm. And everybody believes that. Even though you're not hitting the way you want and Amador is not hitting the way he wants, the belief from the top seems to be really solid.
Right.
That's not normal in Japan.
No, it's not.
It's normally it's you're hitting 150, man. What are you doing on the bench? Yeah, Get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, my hat's off to Rashida, you know, sticking with us and, you know, and the organization is, you know, we'll just kind of keep it going and see what happens.
Okay. And another thing, because I was talking to Mogi and he said that, and I asked him about the defense, and he said one of the things was, it's hard for him to say because he said as a rookie, his positioning, you know, his focus was on how am I going to get this ball.
Right, right.
And I see where the ball's hit, and then I see where I'm going to go.
Right.
And he said this year, he feels a little more relaxed. He knows he's looking to where he knows he's aware of how everybody's playing it.
Right, right.
Have you noticed him improving?
That's a tough position, shortstop, position. So more like he said, this year maybe his instincts are better.
Okay.
You know, off the bat, you know, rather than last year, he was like, oh, I got to be in this position, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe this year his instincts is better, so he trusts the infield, you know.
Okay.
Trusts his step, trusts his footwork, and, uh-huh. and all the other falls in play.
Now, you got a little quicker step this year. Your defense has been looking good. I always liked your defense, but it's looking good this year.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I take pride in my defense, man. But, you know, I'm not happy where I'm at on defense, but, you know, overall, I was playing pretty good, but I'm not happy where I'm at.
Well, the team's holding the fort while you're getting getting there.
So, but I don't know. Maybe I start today.
Okay. Well, why not? Good luck. Good luck with that. I mean, you never know. You never know when things are going to click and suddenly turn. Now, this is your third year in Japan.
Right.
And were there any specific adjustments you wanted to make coming in this year?
No, not at all. I wanted to get 10 stolen bases.
Stolen bases.
Yeah, that was part of my goal.
Okay.
I get more, run more, you know. Be aggressive on the base pass, but...
We got the speed.
Right, right. Overall, just take a good approach at the bat, play good defense, and be a good teammate.
Okay. Well, that's more than... I'm sure everybody's really happy with the effort you're given.
Right, right.
So, and no, everyone seems to know the numbers are going to come.
Right. Hopefully, man. You know, at first, I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself, but I'm starting to relax and enjoying the game.
Winning helps you relax?
Yeah. You know, first two seasons have been down, but, you know, I enjoy Japan, and hopefully we can go all the way.
Okay, well, hopefully everyone's going to stay healthy. That's huge, too. You guys have been real
big
fit.
Big key. You know, that's tough to do in baseball these days.
It's tough for me to be walking on the street. So, all right, man. So anyway, thanks very much for being with us, and best of luck from today.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Take care. Stay healthy, man.
Yes.
All right, Z, I haven't seen you yet this year, but I will be out there soon, and I will see you. But it's good to hear your voice. And man, did he sound very energetic.
Doesn't he always?
You know, no. he's one of those guys who... remember what Bobby Valentine used to always do? He used to always try to keep his team from getting too high or too low. He just wanted he wanted people to stay in the middle and stay mellow. And that's the way I always see Z. He's always not too high and not too low.
Well, there's a little bit of that we're in first place vibe going on.
Yes. Yes.
Not only we're in first place, but we're in first place for a reason vibe going on with the Eagles. And you can kind of sense it when you trod down the half a million steps down to the field level.
With a bad hip.
Well, I cheated. I took the side route through the bullpen.
Okay.
To the field seats. But gotcha. Yeah. Anyway, no, there was that going on, and everybody was kind of chatty and bubbly. Everybody except Yafet Amador, who we'll get onto that one later. But what did you other than Mr. Wheeler's newfound enthusiasm or hyperactivity? What did you
in my opinion?
Out of that?
I want to do a Jim Allen, because usually before you get into a lot about what a guy says, you kind of you kind of talk about how he delivered it in his presentation or his personality and all that stuff. And I want to say that Zealous reminds me of, usually he reminds me of talking to Shaquille O'Neal, the former NBA All-Star and legend, big man with the Lakers and the Magic. And in that he says things, but it's very measured and very short normally. Oh. And you know, I've never obviously interviewed Shaquille O'Neal, but I've got a couple college buddies who did, and that's what they tell me, especially off camera. And it's suffice to say that Zealous is a man. He's not a man of few words, but he's a man of measured words. He doesn't get into a lot of detail all the time. He doesn't over explain. He doesn't give you a lot of extra information. So what you have to do is maybe glean some of, or garner some of what he's really saying from his delivery and from the way, from the presentation. And that's why that's the first thing that hit me, because we've had him on the show each year. He has been here in Japan, and yeah, I always prepare. I tell people I prepare a lot of questions for guys. Well, for Z, I usually prepare extra questions because sometimes his answers can be on the short side. And so this time, a couple times they were, but he was actually explaining what he meant. Now, he never did get into, like, you when you asked him what's going on, he never got into the details of playing as a team. You know, he mentioned that, and he didn't get into the details. And I would have said, well, you know, I can see guys actually trying to move the runners over. You can see guys making adjustments pitch by pitch, trying to adjust to what the pitcher's doing so that they can move these runners over. And I mean, because in baseball, when you say playing as a team, it's not exactly like basketball or football or some other team sport where everyone's moving in unison and has to do something at the same time or work together defensively. Or it's harder to see in baseball when you're working as a team, quote unquote. So, but he didn't get into that. But he did sound very excited, very thrilled about you say a first place vibe. I say a happy environment. It just seems that he's just, it's his third year here. When he said, for example, you asked him, what did you work on in the off season? He said, nothing really, but I want to steal 10 bases. Well, to me, looking at him, you can tell that he has lost weight, right? That says to me, he says, I worked on my body and I worked on my speed. But he didn't say it. He said, I want to steal 10 bases. That was his answer. And so that's what I mean with this guy. He's great. He's fun. You know, the Mr. Potato Head thing we talked about in the past. But I think we have to drop that moniker. He's no longer a guy who looks like Mr. Potato Head. He's very svelte.
Yeah, he was saying he's not quite, he hasn't quite adjusted to his new weight. And it's tricky. It's tricky being light, you know, light and frisky.
Tricky.
light and frisky. His body isn't acting the way it normally does. So he's maybe getting things a little more quickly than he thought.
And than he has in the past. Yeah, yeah. That was the biggest thing. What about for you?
Well, I thought, a couple of things. Now, he did, to keep, you know, just to, so you're not disappointed, you know, when we were speaking on the bench before we taped the interview after his BP, he said, I said, what's going on with the team? He says, I have no idea. I don't know why we're winning.
Translated, you know, that means that the foreign guys really aren't banging it every day, especially me. And especially Fat Amador, but we're still winning games. I don't know how.
Yeah, indeed. So didn't want to disappoint you. So, but the other thing I think that was interesting and to me was, I wanted to ask him what it's like playing for Nashda, which we didn't discuss last year when I talked to him, and Tuffy Rhodes, who is hopefully will get more Hall of Fame support this year, told me. 1 year when he was playing under Nashda with the Kintetsu Buffaloes, he had an ankle injury. He suffered early in the season and it needed rest, but he wouldn't get it. Nashda told me, Norihiro Nakamura was his teammate then. They were the two big hitters for the Kintetsu Buffaloes,
right?
During the past decade, the last decade. And both of them had injuries, and they were playing with injuries, and they'd probably be better if they were able to sit. But Nashda said, look, you know, I'd love to give him a rest, but if I give him a rest, everybody's going to perceive that as we are giving up on the season.
Ah.
Now, I think this was 2000, the year they finished last. Well, the next year they finished first, and at some point, I asked a number of points. I asked Tuffy about Nasha, and he said I'd run through walls for him.
Right, right.
And he loved playing for him. And so, so yes, with Zealous confirmed that Nasha creates a good working atmosphere.
Yeah. And he didn't get into it, but he did say, I mean, it seems as if they've had some conversations, maybe at least one, but he said, he called him into the office and said, hey, relax, you know, obviously they're going to stick with him. He's a proven guy. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have kept, you know, bringing him back if they didn't believe in him and didn't believe he'd at least be very, forgive the pun, but zealous in his approach to improve. And he has been.
You're forgiven.
He has been. He's getting better. Indeed. And obviously they're not hitting the way they want, as you mentioned. And I've been calling them the three amigos because two of them speak Spanish so much that I guess they'll just bring in Zealous and help teach him Spanish if they can't understand. But those guys haven't been as productive as you mentioned. And yet this team is running away from the lower half, or the teams that would be out of the playoffs, let's say.
Well, they're certainly
distancing themselves from those guys.
Indeed, they are on the track for teams that want to contend at the end of the season.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought that was all part of that, and I think I was curious. When I hear, as you said, when you talk about team play, it can mean many different things. But that vibe and him saying, you know, it's something that started in camp was interesting. That I think when they say team play, when everybody gives you the same answer, it sounds like a manager driven or
an organizational
goal. You know, right. We're going to play together. So either, you know, I can imagine Nashta and the, you know, the players, reps all being on the same page and, you know, and this is what we're going to do and this is what we're going to focus on. And I thought that everybody's comments was that it's much easier to play under Nashta than it was under the guys before.
And, you know, I can't say that. I can only look at the results, and it looks like mm-hmm. everybody's productive. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Louis Okoye the whole season because everyone's been so productive. We haven't even had to say, well, bring him up and get him some more experience, because obviously mm-hmm. you want him to be part of the future of the organization. So everybody's happy. Everyone's playing hard and they're winning games, which is the biggest thing.
Well, I think one of, you know, we've talked a lot about Nashda, you know, winning the pennant in his second season with a Pacific League team. And another trademark of Nashda so far has been to have, in his first year, to have a big name rookie who he basically does nothing with. the previous example being Sho Nakata, who he spent much of his first season hoping that he could play third base.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So, and last year was Louis Okoye. So, it's kind of part of his thing. So, if, after they, you know, get the rookie hazing from the manager, positional hazing or whatever. Yeah. But you know, no, it was interesting, and he's positive about that relationship, which is a good thing. And now, moving to the Eagles in general, mm-hmm. I talked with the batting coach, Takahiro Ikeyama.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that one of the things about the Eagles this year, in addition to everybody being healthy, or all the guys they've got on the roster being healthy, has been that everybody expects the three amigos to be productive.
Right.
And even though they're not, we're not panicking. Of course, that panic lasted until... It lasted through Friday with Yafet Amador when he was sat down and they put somebody else. They juggled the lineup a little bit.
Right.
And put Hiroaki Shimauchi, who's been banging in the bottom of the or sixth and seventh, they put him into the three hole and dropped Zealous from number three to number four. But, he said basically we're not panicking. The manager has faith in these guys. He's going to let them go out and work out their things, which is not which is a Nashida thing to do. And I think that led me to the question to Zealous, how easy is it to play for Nashida in that, you know, he doesn't push the panic button.
Yeah,
he may have you play when you're hurt if you're really good, but he doesn't push the panic button.
Yeah, the thing I noticed with him is he looks so happy after some of these wins. If you watch some of the games and you see the manager's interview after the victories, and he looks mm-hmm. so happy after these wins and so surprised sometimes. Like they've had some of these rookie pitchers, and I remember there's an Eagles fan at the office, and so we were talking. We've been talking obviously since before camp, and then when they broke camp with three rookies, and I think I kind of tweeted out something at that time that said, mm-hmm. you know, the Eagles are breaking camp with three rookies, and I'm like, that equals another rebuild, or indicates to me another rebuild situation, blah blah blah. And I joked with this guy at the office. I said, you know, he's saying Nashida. Saying he's got faith in these rookies is you know, just tickles my eyes when I read something like that. And lo and behold, these guys, Kohei Morihara, mm-hmm. a guy they took in the fifth round,
yep.
and Shu Sugahara, a mm-hmm. guy they took in the fourth round, are some of the rookies who have been doing well for them on the mound. And he's putting them in. Of course, they've got 15 quality starts, and mm-hmm. that's 57% of their starts. And that's, I mean, Cebu's got 16 and Oryx has 20 to lead the okay. Pacific League. But so they're getting quality starts, but these guys, they're throwing them out when they, in the sixth inning, seventh inning, the game's still on the line, and these guys are doing okay. And I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know if this is the plan, if they're thinking about if we're in contention, we're going to maybe go out and get a foreign pitcher or someone else. To help us out, but let's see how it goes. I'd be interested in hearing about that. But they're doing well with these young guys. And when you, again, getting back to Zealous, I know we moved on from him in particular, but he says we're playing as a team. I think it's not a situation where they're asking what the team can do for them. They're asking what they can do for the team. To steal a line from one of our great presidents.
That's right, John F. Kennedy Gibson. John Emil Fitzgerald Kennedy Gibson, to be precise. Okay, so I think in that line, I think if you look at the score, the runs they've allowed, the Eagles have been very consistent. And the two things you need to be consistent, which is scoring runs and preventing runs,
right?
And they've allowed. You know, a typical guide is if you score 3 to 5 runs, or, you know, if you keep the game, your opponent's under 6, you can be in the game.
Right.
You know, 3 to 5 gives you a chance to win, and vice versa, if you can keep them from, you know, really hammering at you. Well, the Eagles so far this season have allowed 1, 2, 3, 4 games when they've given up more than 5 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much they score 3 runs every game. Although they hit a rough patch last week where they only scored 4 runs in one day the whole week. But one of the things I noticed, and I noticed this yesterday because I was curious about Manabu Mima, who's been pretty much their workhorse this year. And this is a guy, he's 30 years old. He seems, you know, like he's got to be younger, because he always seems to be like the guy who's the next big thing.
I hope not.
So I'm going, 30 years old? Holy mackerel. So he was their number 2 draft choice in 2010, you know, back when they still had a Lively Bowl. And one thing I noticed about his season this year, and it's at first it struck me, oh, this is interesting. He's giving up. He's not walking. One of his big issues so far has been giving up lots of hits and walks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But this year, he's giving up a lot of home runs. But he's not walking anybody, and he's not allowing any hits. So I'm guessing he's given up a lot of solo home runs, as he did yesterday, a pair of them. And, okay, so anyway, so I'm thinking, how much is this a team thing? So I looked, and the Eagles, it looks like a team thing. Okay, so, you know, I looked, and the Eagles are basically giving up fewer hits and more home runs.
than they did last year on average?
Than they did last year, right, up through about this time of the year. Now, their average on balls in play is way down. And then I looked and I'm saying, okay, well, maybe this is a league thing.
Right.
And that appears to be true. A part of this is the league. Part of this, the Pacific League last year at this time was batting 305 when they put the ball in play, and 286 this year.
Yeah,
okay. With a lot more home runs. Okay, now then the next thing you ask, is it an NPB thing? And it isn't. Now, home runs and runs scored are down in the CL, but home runs are way up in the Pacific League. Anyway, so I was thinking about all these things, and it seems like, you know, I have to ask the question, is the Pacific League's fielding better this year?
Okay.
And I have to think maybe, yeah, it could be, because the PL certainly, you know, with the exception of the SoftBank Hawks pitching staff, starting pitching, it seems like the PL's pretty healthy this year. You know, the position players up the middle. Takashima just went, Takuya Nakashima just went out for Nippon Ham yesterday, but basically the starting shortstops have all been in there the whole season.
Right.
Most of the starting catchers have been healthy. Most of the key defensive players have been healthy. So maybe that's it. This is a kind of a, it's unusually low, as good as the fielding's been this year.
Yeah, well, I watch a lot of games, of course, and I see the fielding, and I would have to say this fielding in the Central League has just gone down, while maybe in the Pacific League it's a little bit either better or it just stayed the same. Or you're saying it's the fielding is improved, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it seems to have.
Yeah, it's still early.
While
we only have five.
Well, home runs have also increased, so right. It's like the balls in play, they're catching them. But the first thought when I saw Mima's numbers was that he's throwing the ball in the strike zone a lot more. He's challenging people in the strike zone, and when he gets when he misses, you know, he's paying the price. But because there's nobody on base, it's not hurting him.
Right, because the walks are down, and
right,
and his team is making plays behind him, like you said.
Right, so. That, I'm sort of curious to see how that plays out, but yeah. Of course, last year, what we noticed, the home runs was interesting because, of course, what we remember about the Pacific League last year was that nobody hit any home runs until Daichi, Babe Ruth, Suzuki hit two on March 29th, so like 5 days into the season. But anyway, you know, that was the kind of the thing that I took away from that, from being with the Eagles on Friday.
Yeah, and I remember last year the Eagles, the pitching wasn't horrible early on last year, but it just wore down. And then as it got warmer in Sendai too, the ball started to carry a little bit more. And when the guys made mistakes, it was all fun. We talked about it in the prediction show for the PL where I said, hey, the bullpen was such a big problem last year when they were in games that either they were trailing by one or two runs or they were leading by one or two runs. When the bullpen came in, it was over. They just had no chance. They couldn't compete anymore. And unless they could get it to Yuki Matsui at the end of the bullpen, then they didn't keep a lot of games close. Not in general, not every game, obviously.
Well, one of the things, I remember talking to Nashita at the start of the season, and he said that, okay, you know, this is the guy we think is going to be in this, you know, the sixth inning guys, this is the guy we want for the seventh inning, and so on and so forth. And, you know, that was based on what he'd seen. They were mostly younger players, basically he'd seen in fall camp and spring camp.
Right.
So that's a fairly limited view. Having seen him over the season, I think he had some, you know, I mentioned before that I think he gave him some homework and say, you know, this is something you can work on. The pitching is definitely amped up this year than compared to last year. So far, as you said, it's still Sendai and it's cold in the spring where, you know, runs scored are going to be down.
Right.
However, that doesn't seem to be bothering the Eagles' run scoring.
Well, yeah. One of the guys I really like, you mentioned him earlier on, Shimauchi, and I remember in that Japan Series winning season when I saw this guy the thing that I liked about his swing was when I did try to play baseball in my younger, in my youth, the one thing that I wanted to do was to, instead of having my hands up high and have to adjust to bringing my hands down and into the hitting zone, I just wanted to keep my hands in the hitting zone. And mm-hmm. so I kept them, you know, a little bit higher than my waist. And, you know, whether your bat was vertical or horizontal, didn't matter because I already had my hands there. So, but I always used to try to put the bat as flat as I could as well. And he reminded me of that approach that I had. And so I always liked his swing because it was, he had his hands low. He had the bat kind of low and he keeps the bat in the hitting zone a long time with a flat swing. And that's what I liked about his swing. And now he's getting some time. He's getting some time in center field too. I'm not sure that's a great defensive approach for the team, but he's getting time to play and he's producing, and I'm really happy to see it. I really like, you know, him, and Takiro Okajima is another guy I've always liked with that team. And of course, I like Ryo Hijirisawa. I said it! I really like his speed. I like his arm, and that's what I was saying about don't ask what the team can do for you, but what you can do for the team. And he's accepted the role of just being the Louis Okoye, being the guy to come in and pinch hit or play defense late in the game or get a spot start once in a while. And he's doing a good job too. So, you know, when Zelis talked about playing as a team, I think that's part of it. Just accepting what you can do to help the team be successful. And guys talk about it all the time, and you hear it in the hero interviews. I just want to help do my part and help the team win and blah, blah, blah. But a lot of times I don't take it seriously. It's just like the boilerplate approach to these hero interviews. Thank you to all the fans. We couldn't do it without you. Well, I always think the team requests the players mention the fans, of course. And then, the fans help the ball go into the stands, or the pitchers say that the fans cheering helped me strike that guy out or gave me a little bit of extra, you know, whatever. I don't believe that for a second, but it's good that they involve them. And, but again, part of that is why I just want to do part of the things that they say, or the message they deliver in the hero interview is, I just want to do my part to help the team win. Well, yeah, but you want to be successful too. We all know that, you know, if you had to go up there and sacrifice bunt six times in a game that went to 12 innings, you wouldn't be happy. But if your sacrifice bunt won the game in the 12th inning, and you were the hero interview, that's what you would say. But yeah, are you really taking that home at night and thinking, oh, I was really successful today?
Well, I think part of that dynamic is having a framework, you know, in which those contributions can play out. And I think this is where Nash and his coaching staff, or any manager and his coaching staff can stand out, you know, giving people, you know, in choosing the player for the situation, I think, but building the talent level on the team and having the players ready to play and having them ready to perform roles for which they were suited, I've found him, and also in bringing up players from the farm team, I've found him to be exceptionally talented. So that's a huge thing.
Yep.
I mean, compared to, you know, do I sacrifice, you know, what, take the sacrifice off when he's got two, you know, 2-0 count? That's huge.
In-game management is not everything. Yeah. Okay. But thanks again, Zelis. We appreciate it. Let's move on and make a four-seam transition and talk about some other teams in the Pacific League, including the Oryx Buffaloes, the team I have been making fun of for years now. But they are scoring a lot of runs.
You say that, but you don't mean it.
You know, I told you, I actually like the team. I love except for the picnic basket or picnic blanket uniforms. I like what they do what they've done since 2005 when they merged, or when they played that first season after the Kintetsu Buffaloes, the Osaka Kintetsu Buffaloes and the Oryx Blue Wave merged into one organization. But the long since let fans down, let, you know, expectations, not lived up to expectations, underperformed. But I'm not sure. I mean, they're in there. I'm going to take a peek at the standings and say, because they have been up there close very close to the Eagles, and obviously the game difference is minimal, maybe four games at the moment as we tape here on Sunday morning. But yeah, they're 16-12 and three victories behind the Eagles. So we're talking about, I mean, the Eagles still haven't lost 10 games. They've only lost 7 games. They're the only team in Japan that doesn't have double figures in losses. But are these Buffaloes overperforming, or are they underperforming, or are they where you expected them to be in terms of wins and losses?
Well,
you're dumbfounded too, right? It's hard to you. There's no answer. I think they underperformed.
I think they're about where I would expect them to be if everybody was healthy, and the team wasn't being, you know, doing dumb stuff, which they've limited the number of dumb things they've done so far this year, and the organization isn't telling the players, yeah, go ahead and win, nobody cares. So, but you know, that seems to be the vibe I'm getting from them, is that actually the team is interested in winning, and that seems to have been, that's a bigger thing than I thought it would be this year. What I expected was, okay, they changed the front office situation, they cleaned up that mess in the off season, and that next year they'd get a new manager, and they'd go in and, you know, they'd finally get a good start again, and that didn't happen because they've got this. Well, at least they've had success with the guy everybody likes, but you know, maybe that's what they needed, was, you know, that little comfort level. Now that they've got a focus on winning from the front office, having a manager that everybody likes is now a good thing.
Right.
Maybe.
So they're scoring a lot of runs. You know, for them, it's not, they're not leading the league or anything. The SoftBank Hawks are leading the league with 130 runs scored, and Oryx has 114 as we go into games today. But they're leading Japan. They're leading NPB in quality starts. Mm. And this is something I brought up 2 years ago when I said, hey, they're going to win. They're going to win the PL. I looked at that rotation, which really hasn't changed, save for the rookie Taisuke Yamaoka. Most of the guys we see out there, they're running out there, are guys we've seen before. Brandon Dixon is pitching well, although he didn't get, he pitched okay on Saturday.
He's been consistently good.
Right, they've got Phil Koch, who started some games, is now...
Well, he started yesterday, didn't he? Long relief, which is pretty rare now.
Right, yeah. He did have this relief outing of 4 innings, which was strange.
Yeah, we don't see... That's something that's kind of vanished from baseball these days, that long relief stint.
Right. And so, Mamoru Kishida used to be a closer for them a long time ago. He had a start.
Right.
And again, he only went 3 innings, and then Koch came out of the bullpen for that long relief stint to get the win that day. I mean, it's weird what they're doing, but they're having success. So I was thinking that they're overperforming, but they're not overperforming. This is what I expected. Of course, they lost Yoshio Itoi in the offseason, and you would think that, you know, losing a player of that caliber would hurt your team, but Shunta Goto has really been playing well for them.
Which he hasn't for a couple of years, although... looked like a brilliant talent about 4 years ago.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't know about brilliant for me, but
I think so.
He only had upside to go, and he just didn't improve his game.
The other thing is the second baseman, Masahiro Nishino, who's, you know, he's playing well. But I think all the Buffaloes are playing well. Even Hikaru Ito, basically, who's lost his job as the starting catcher. Now he's basically... Kaneko's catcher.
Right. Kenya Watsuki, the guy who's catching most of the games now. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, they were getting fed up with Ito and in the offseason, you know, last year. And so he lost his starting job. And so they were saying, well, what else can you do? And they had him at third base most of the preseason when he proved that he couldn't hit there either.
Yeah. And I saw an interview with him during the preseason, and it was so, obviously, these guys in Japanese, there's a lot of times they have these stoical looks, and they don't sound enthusiastic as players. But I saw an interview that kind of reminded me of the Yoshio Itoi signing incident with the fighters just before he was traded, mm-hmm. where Ito was saying, "Yes, I have lost my job as the starting catcher, but I'm looking for any way I can contribute to the team, and if it's whatever they want me to do." I'm like, dude, try to sound interested in what you're saying. You know, if you can't sell it to yourself, don't try to sell it to us. You don't even want it. So I saw this interview. But he seems to have changed his attitude. This was a preseason thing. He seems to have changed his attitude a little bit, and he's contributing when he can. And
Yeah, he's had some big hits. I mean, he's he's still a ways to go from where he was 4 years ago. So, yeah, I think that's again, winning helps. I think winning helps, and having a team that cares about winning helps. So are they overperforming? Again, I don't know. I think they're about where I expected if everybody was healthy and they were focused on winning, which nobody expected.
Right. Well, they are leading the Pacific League in team ERA. They're the only team that's under two. So that pitching, I think it's worth keeping an eye on. Now, the Fighters had a really poor start. We know that Shohei Ohtani is out with the injury. Shohei Nakata had missed some time. And it's really weird that Brandon Laird suspiciously started hitting again or warming up a little bit right after the JBW episode on which he was the guest. Any correlation, you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody who talks to us goes on a hot streak. I think it's magic.
And I'm just prodding at our longtime listeners because a long time ago we got some flack. Seemed like every guest we had on the show ended up going into a slump or having some poor results or something.
It just seems like because you remember those.
Yes. Yeah. And so I'm just teasing. But Brandon Laird warming up. The team is on its longest winning streak of the season. Kensuke Kondo, I mean, he's just been a masher. He went into yesterday's games hitting 400. I don't know if he came out of yesterday's games hitting 400, but he has been...
Well, he didn't play yet. He got a day off so that they could put Kenji Yano in there, and their pinch hitter had a big two-run double as the DH. So that was that.
There he is. Yeah, he's hitting 400. So, five and a half weeks into the season, if you're at 400, I would say you're having a successful season. And they've been moving him in the lineup, trying to make his hits worth more and trying to get guys on base in front of him and try to get him to the plate with a chance to do some damage. And it has been working recently. Even though he doesn't hit for a lot of power, he has been, like I say, one of my phrases, be an RBI, and he has been doing that. He leads the team with 36 hits. He's eight doubles. He's awesome so far. But they've got to get Shohei Ohtani back. They've got to get their pitching back to what we probably expected or what they expected. And I know Hiroshi Urano finally won a game yesterday, and he was the hero interview. And he said, "Yeah, well, I missed all of last year. I was injured, and it's nice to come back and contribute." And this is a guy who contributed a lot in his rookie season, but wasn't able to overcome injuries. And I think if he's healthy, he can help that rotation. But gosh, they've got a lot of work to do to climb back into this race, because they fell as many as 14 games under 500, and still they're 11-19 as we speak today. That's good, thanks to the streak. But the key is, when they lose again, is to bounce back and put another streak together, not make it a losing streak, because they'll find themselves right back at 10 games under 500 and struggling.
Yeah, I mean, basically they were playing worse than we thought they should be, and now they're playing as well as we thought they should be.
What about the Marines? They're still just stuck.
I mean, they're just stuck.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it in the prediction show, in the preseason, and my idea was that they weren't going to be able to hit for enough power to make a difference, and that seems to be the case. But are they underperforming for you, or are they what you thought what they would be?
Okay. Yes, because I think they've got more. I think they're in a cycle of. I need to bring out my pseudo-psychological, hat.
Do it, man. Let me move over to the couch.
Okay, good. Well, no, we need to get Stomoito there. And We'll get a bigger couch. Wider one.
Hashtag wow. High heat.
And
put down that donut.
You know, wait, it's a batting donut. It's okay. All right. No, I think they're kind of in a cycle of frustration. You know, they basically hit so many balls at people that, you know, they're swinging at everything. That, you know, I think their approach at the start of the season was fine, and they, you know, they hit into bad luck, and now they're lacking power, and they're trying to do things, you know, probably trying to swing at pitches they shouldn't be swinging at. So, you know, I thought it would come out. They'd come out of it a little sooner.
Right.
But they will come out of it eventually. I mean, this is a team that does well, you know, where the players are well prepared and have good approaches. And I doubt this is going to be a long-term thing.
Yeah, this is
if
what
it continues, then Stomu Ito will be looking for a new job next year.
That's true. I mean, this is an exaggerated form of what I thought they'd be, because I had the Buffaloes finishing last, but I had the Marines in fifth because I didn't like the lack of power. And they are struggling to score, and they've been shut out or finished with one run a few times. But I think the home runs, or the lack of home runs, is the biggest surprise for me. I thought they'd have more than this. They only have 10 home runs. It's by far, well, not by far, because Chunichi Yakult only has 14 because Tetsuto Yamada's not hitting a lot. But even the Chunichi Dragons have 17 home runs. And then they have the fewest runs in of all the 12 teams. So they're really, really struggling. I think the surprises have been guys like Hideaki Wakui, who's mashed your teeth frustration because he puts runners on. He allows a lot of hits. He doesn't have a lot of clean innings, but he gets out of trouble. So he's frustrating to watch, but the end result is zeros or a low scoring game. Yuki Katakawa has been useful, and I didn't expect that.
New. Yeah.
I didn't expect that. Jason Standridge has been so-so. Chihaya Sasaki, the rookie, he has looked okay, but how long before he just gets exhausted because he's not used to pitching a load like this? Kota Futaki is a guy I really liked. I don't know why he's so hard to hit. I think it's his arm action. He looks like he's throwing pitches that are harder than they are, but he's just hard to hit for some reason. And I think the biggest surprise is Ayumu Ishikawa, who got sent to the farm because of poor performance, yet they're still pitching fairly well. I mean, there are times when the bullpen has blown some games, and that included Friday when it looked like they were going to win a game, and a couple misplaced pitches ended up being sent to the stands and turned a 2-0 victory into a 3-2 loss. But they turned that around the next day and won a game when They shut down the SoftBank Hawks in the ninth inning. I'm sure people were worried. Fans were worried.
Well, yeah, it was weird. I mean, they're losing a lot and things aren't going well. But I don't see this as being a permanent thing. But they're just playing far worse than they should be. They're not a team that plays this badly.
Yeah, I think they'll turn around. All right, so making a two-seam transition, I do want to talk about the Central League. And, of course, we've had a couple of exciting games. I can't wait for the game today on Sunday to see what the Tigers and Carp give us. But two come-from-behind wins by the Tigers against the defending Central League champions, and the second coming from 9 runs down. And I saw you tweet out something yesterday immediately, so I retweeted it. And that was the first time in club history that they've erased a 9-run deficit to come back and win. And they had this big 7-run sixth inning. But I think the thing that I want to talk about in this game, and it was a great game, and I tweeted out, wow, that Tigers offense, because the team had 3 errors again. And all these things, all the bad play, all those things get forgotten when you pull off a comeback like this. But how long do you think this can last, where they play poor defense and are able to hit through it, around it, and past it?
Yeah, well, the answer is not forever, because you just don't. The defense is going to have to improve. It's not essential, but it's hard to win. I mean, you can win games during the regular season if your defense is lousy, provided your pitching is good enough. You know, you can strike out batters, you make enough quality pitches, and, you know, keep enough runners off base that the bad defense doesn't kill you. Don't give up too many home runs, you know, with guys on base, and you score a ton of runs. But, you know, that the thing is, the defense is one of those constants. It's almost a constant in the sense that, you know, when you're playing defense, it tends to continue to be playing good defense.
Right.
You know, teams change from year to year, and they do change throughout the season. But generally, yes. I think it's sort of like the building block for success. It's part of that being reliable. You know, the pitchers know you're going to be out there and be prepared. Your team, you know, all those factors that go into it. Good defense is really essential to all the other things that go into it. And the Tigers not being able to are kind of testing the limits of that theory. They moved into first place yesterday.
Yeah, they did move into first place with the win.
And they're the one team really that's been able to beat it. Well, DeNA's done okay against Hiroshima, but pretty much the Tigers are the one team that's beaten them up pretty good this year.
Yeah. The thing I think about the defense is it's not the outcome of that day's game, so to speak, if you continue to play poor defense like this. What it is mm-hmm. is it's extra pitches that tax your staff, the pitching staff. And the extra outs, yeah, maybe you get out of them here and there during the season. Maybe you even allow a run here and there or a couple cost you a couple games. But all these extra pitches in the second half will come back to haunt you because a lot of the guys who are making these extra pitches, especially late in the game, are guys you're going to be depending on to get you outs late game situations with the pennant race tightening in August and September. And that's when all these extra pitches and all these plays that your defense has to make are going to come back to haunt you. And I've seen a couple of Tigers fans online saying this is their year. This is the Tigers' year. It's not going to be if the first half keeps up defensively like this. It's mm-hmm. going to be another situation where they fade in the second half, especially when they have that road trip during the road trip of death, I think someone mm-hmm. dubbed it,
yep.
When the Koshien High School tournament is going on. But one of the things that happened in this game was this, and it depends on where you, what site you go on. I saw a report on Yahoo this morning. I saw a report on TV last night that called it a 15-minute video review. One called it a 17-minute video review. I was watching the game. I had the Twins sitting in front of me, and I literally fell asleep, and I just woke up and tweeted that it was 10 minutes because I assumed I had just dozed off for a short period, but it looks like I slept 10 minutes and that this thing went on forever. And the longer it went on, the more the play they originally called the runner safe, and the Tigers had taken the lead or tied the score. And the longer it went on, the more I said, okay, well, they're trying to... because this was a game at Koshien at the Hanshin Tigers, the passionate home, the home of the passionate Tigers fans. And I think they thought if we go out there and overrule this and call this guy out, they're going to storm the field and beat us up. Let's just wait back in here until they chill out. And the longer we wait, the more they'll calm, the more calm they'll be when we deliver the news. Either way, this has to be outlawed. You cannot have a video review of 15 to 17 minutes. That's absolutely ridiculous. I want them to put a time limit on it, and I want them to do it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the chief of the umpiring crew basically said, well, it took us that long to figure it out, so what are you going to do?
See, I saw it before I fell asleep. I saw that the guy was out, and I saw it when I woke up. Now, in between that, I don't know what the hell they were doing.
Maybe they had to have a coffee break, you know, I don't know. But
and, I mean, these plays are really close, and I'm joking here, or I'm saying it jokingly, but I really did see the play, and mm-hmm. I don't have a vested interest in either one of these teams. I'm pretty neutral, so I could see he was out. I really think they were just waiting and trying to let the passionate fans calm down before they came out and overturned
Call
it.
Them out.
Because
yeah,
it doesn't take that long.
They probably had to go back. They probably had to go back and have a drink before they came out and announced it.
They probably just did just because.
Man.
So yeah, they've got to limit this. I hope we see a rule change here soon. And like I said, I want that to happen soon. They made a rule change at the on the home plate collision calls last year, or that play, and they made an in-season change, and I want to see them change this right away, because we cannot have this. We cannot have this. These games are long enough. You got people sitting in the stands with children. They're, it's just too long to just be sitting around doing nothing. Baseball can be long enough, especially games in Japan where there's no limits on how long a pitcher can take between pitches. So let's get it going, guys.
It didn't help the game either. I mean, as much as the Tigers fans might have been unhappy about the out, you know, there were three pitches after that, and basically the game was over.
Okay. All right. Making a seamless transition, I want to talk about the report I saw during this past week, and that is that Major League Baseball and Nippon Professional Baseball are going to sit down and renegotiate the terms of the posting system. And immediately I thought, oh, great, this gives NPB a chance to help its players make more money, or its teams make more money, I should say, and make it more fair for the Japanese players who are going over there, since the CBA in the United States changed and impacted players from around the world, obviously. And so I reached out to a couple of my sources, and one of them, I said, hey, what's the end game? And one of the sources said, quote, I heard MLB is trying to lower the cap. I heard that NPB is trying to raise the cap. Let's see who wins. And then I wrote back something to which he answered, I wrote back something about NPB needing to have a spine. And he answered, it won't happen with the current negotiators. They never have, and they never will.
Nope. People in NPB have told me exactly the same. The other thing, and I wrote a fairly long blog post about this last night. Essentially, is that you have two teams in NPB who hate the posting system with a passion and would like it to go away. Their idea of a good posting system would be no money for the teams.
Yeah.
So that no Japanese players would be posted. And these two teams are the SoftBank Hawks and the Omiuri Giants. These two teams were also the two biggest advocates of player free agency, so that players, when they're tired of their small market teams, could go to teams with deep pockets, such as the Omiuri Giants and the Daiei Hawks, and now the SoftBank Hawks. See, that's their idea of innovation. And they were completely these teams were completely taken by surprise when Hideo Nomo in 1995 became a success in the major leagues, because they never dreamed a Japanese player would ever be good enough to play in the majors. Yeah. So by having the free agency in place, they created a door for players to leave. And then Japanese teams were saying, well, if our player goes to the Giants, we get cash. We can get players in return. We can get compensation in terms of cash and players. But if they go to the majors...
We want our compensation.
We get nothing. Now, here's some of the things that could be involved. Compensation. Okay, so one possibility is that the Giants and Hawks will say, no, we don't want. Whatever the major leagues tell us, we'll take. As they did last time. They basically conspired against their fellow owners to, let them rot. Who cares? We don't want posting. Okay, so that's one possibility. And I think that's very likely. It's not so much that they don't have a spine. Well, the 10 of the teams don't have enough spine to stand up to the Giants and the Hawks. Okay, another possibility is that MLB might seek changes in the levels of compensation for players of different ages.
Right. And that's one of the things that my source said, is that, hey, how can the CBA tell a player who's played overseas and is for X amount of years in a professional league that experience doesn't count at all?
Right. And the other thing is, the younger the player is, the more valuable he's going to be.
Exactly.
Right. So I could also see an end negotiation. Well, okay, if the player is treated as an amateur by the CBA, his team should be getting more money because they're letting him go earlier. They're giving away more value, so they could raise the cap for those players. It could be something like players who are professionals will be 10 $10 or $15 million, and players who are treated as amateurs under the CBA as getting $30 million or something.
Right, right.
So those are possibilities. But basically, every time a big Japanese talent, well, since Masahiro Tanaka, weeks before Masahiro Tanaka was posted, MLB said, wait a second, let's get rid of that posting system and let's have one that won't cost us so much money. Of course, the point is, the thing is, it doesn't change how much money MLB teams are going to spend on these players if they're considered professionals. Because the current system allows the major league teams to treat the new players as free agents.
Okay.
So they have to compete with each other for paying out huge contracts. The previous system required them to compete with each other for the opening bid, which, you know, ran up to 51 plus million dollars for Yu Darvish and Daisuke Matsuzaka, and was looking, they were looking at $100 million for Masahiro Tanaka. So they wanted, and the reason that's big is because the MLB teams don't pay luxury tax on posting fee.
Right, and that's big too. And
that's big. Yeah. So the small market teams are really never in the picture. But of course, here's the thing now. The small market teams, because of the CBA, small market teams are now involved. It is very possible a small market team could snap up Shohei Ohtani because it's only going to cost them about $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
But if the even $20 million, $28 million for Shohei Ohtani, yeah, we'll take them.
Yeah, we'll do that. And the posting system fee is capped right now at $20 million, and we laughed about how much that's just chicken feed for these Japanese teams, and they want to lower that. I don't get it, man. And then
I do get it.
Yeah, they're cheap, and they think that talent should want to come there and play in the top league in the world. Just because it's a top league in the world, and that's just
MLB's thinking is fairly corrupt, and I'll come out and say it. It's really messed up. I mean, all these owners, the bulk of the owners get they don't pay full value for the stadiums, the state-of-the-art stadiums they benefit from, and they think it's normal that people should just be giving them stuff. I'll bet there are major league owners who think Japanese teams should pay them for their players to play in the majors.
Hashtag I hate.
And I'm not joking. I'll bet there are those, because there are fans. When Tanaka went for $20 million and there was outrage in Japan, there were major league fans on the internet who said, "Well, why should Rakuten get anything?
Yeah, for a guy we haven't seen, we don't even know what he can do. Yeah.
Why should they get anything? I mean, it's like, you know, the Mets saying, "Well, we want Mike Trout. Why should the Angels get anything?"
Right. All right, we got to move on, but we'll get back to this in the future sometime, I'm sure. Okay. Let's make a two-seam transition and talk about the monthly MVPs. Now, we were going to try to hit on this last week, and we ran out of time, and we're running out of time this week. But who do you have in the Central League for the top player, position player?
The position player, the hitter of the month.
The hitter of the month.
Well, Brad Eldred's a good candidate, and Yoshio Itoi's a good candidate. Basically, we'll have to look and see. We don't have any big hitters in the Central League, really. I think Shinosuke Abe, because of all the home runs he hit early on in the season, all the RBIs. So I think he's going to win.
I'm with you there. I would like to see my man Yoshio Itoi get it. Of course, you know, I've had a man crush on him for quite a while.
Right, so, right. Yeah. But
what about the pitchers?
For the Central League, you know, we're in a really interesting position in both leagues with the pitchers. There's two guys who are really good candidates. Tomoyuki Sugano is 3-0 in April. And he struck out 28 guys in 30 and two-thirds innings with a 1.76 ERA. Really impressive. Randy Messenger was 4-0.
Yes.
He struck out 37 guys in 32 and a third innings, and he's got a 1.95 ERA. Now, he allowed 3 unearned runs, so, you know, that's got to account for something, and he's got 4 wins, which is more than 3. You know, it's like new math.
It could be alternative math.
I'm guessing, geez, I can't guess. I couldn't pick it, but I'll tell you, You know, the decision is going to come down to a Japanese pitcher throwing two shutouts.
Consecutive, yes.
Compared to a foreign pitcher with an extra win.
I'm going to go with strikeouts. Messenger.
Yeah, and I'm going to say Sugano is going to win. Messenger's maybe more deserving, but Sugano is going to win it.
And I think Katsuki Matayoshi of the Dragons gets a shout out. He started out by pitching in relief, but then he made a couple of starts, and his ERA was 0.88 over four or five outings.
So if we had no starters with three wins, then he might have a chance to win. But no,
right,
okay,
right.
Take a
okay.
seat.
Well, he doesn't get any wins because the Dragons aren't trying to win, and they
true.
Can't score.
Fair enough. Yes. So let's switch to the Pacific League, and we'll stay with the pitchers here. We have essentially the same situation in the Pacific League, where we have two guys who are really good candidates, but only one can win, and they are Brian Wolf.
Wolfie!
Who's 4-0 in five games, and with a 1.74 ERA, but with, you know, virtually no strikeouts because he's Brian Wolf. And then we've got Chihiro Kaneko, the ace of the Oryx Buffaloes, who's 4-0 in 37 innings, and he's got a shutout, and he's got a couple of complete games, and he's got a bunch of strikeouts, and his ERA is a hair lower. I think everything this way leans Kaneko's way. So Kaneko, Chihiro Kaneko, yeah.
Bingo. I'm with you there. I would have loved to have seen Wolf do well, but I think Yusei Kikuchi, a guy I've always berated, gets a shout out because he even though he didn't get the victories, he was pitching well.
So he has pitched well. He has pitched well.
Bunch of strikeouts. Yeah.
And then the batters in the Pacific League are really tough because a lot of ones are really good, but I think, you know, it's. Basically, we've got two DH guys. I'll tell you the big candidate. There's three big candidates in the Pacific League. Excuse me, and I think they are Takahiro Okada, Kensuke Kondo, and Egoro Mogi.
Yep.
Personally, I'd like Mogi basically because because he's not just a hitter.
No, he's not. Yeah.
but since this is essentially the hitter of the month award, we just scratch him off the list and replace him with basically two DH guys, Okada or Kondo. And because Kondo hit .416 and they tend to give it the award to 400 hitters, I think there you go. Kondo is going to be your monthly MVP.
Okay. I do like Okada. I think the home runs are going to help boost him. Hopefully he gets
good.
It. He could. And he's another reason why the Buffaloes have been doing well. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, so since we're pushed for time, and plus I wanted to do a little bit of extra research on one of the questions, and since it was Golden Week, I didn't get the opportunity. We'll just go with one question this week, and we'll save the question about the stuffed animals for next time. This question comes from Wes, and he says, with MLB's Beanball Wars taking center stage, and that was a series between the Baltimore Orioles and Boston Red Sox this past week, when did NPB institute the ejection of a pitcher for hitting a batter in the head rule? And what created the need for such a rule? Hashtag high heat. So our crack
high heat
staff,
indeed.
Very high heat. Our crack staff was all over this. But go ahead, Jim. I know you did some research as well.
Well, basically in 1982, Japan NPB gave its umpires the authority to eject players who were eject pitchers who were hitting a batter around the head. But it was not obligatory. And then in 1994, in May of 1994, everything changed. There was a series between the Yakult Swallows and Yomiuri Giants. They were playing on the Sea of Japan coast games in, recall, Toyama and Fukui and Kanazawa. And the last game of this very feisty, contentious
chippy.
Series. Chippy. It was chippy. There was a lot of chippiness out there on the Sea of Japan coast. And in the final game of the series, I believe it was after a number of brushback pitches and hit hit batsman, the umpires came out and they said, now the next, if a batter gets hit, we're going to eject the manager of the Swallows, Katsuya Nomura, or the Giants head coach, who I believe at that time was Yutaka Sudo. So because the Giants manager at the time, Shigo Nagashima, had never ever been ejected in NPB. And for some reason, that stupid umpire said, well, we're not going to start here just because he, you know, to hold him responsible for his team.
Yeah, why would we start making up new rules for the managers?
I know. Why not? Why would we, you know, he's an icon. Let's leave him alone.
He's so untouchable. Anyway, come on.
Untouchable indeed. So anyway, after that series,
guy who wants to keep his job. I'm sorry.
That's right. NP indeed. That's the umpire. Anyway, after that series, Central League representatives got together and they decided to make it automatic. Any player hit in the head area would be automatically ejected from the game.
With any kind of a pitch, whether it's a curveball, a changeup, a floater, a drop.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the rule. And then in 2002, the Pacific League signed on with that, so they made that mandatory. So that's where we are now. Mandatory ejections. You know, if some spit off the spit ball flies in your face, okay, pitcher's ejected.
And I found this interesting because, you know, before they actually made it rules prior to 1982, it was at the discretion of the umpire to decide whether a pitch was dangerous or not, and whether there was intent and all that stuff. But I think, and remember Greg LaRocca, remember I used to call him the hitman. He used to play for the Oryx Buffaloes as well. And, you know, he said that the policing of Japanese baseball is out there. It's just so much more subtle than it is in the big leagues. And he actually preferred it here because you don't have to worry about guys throwing at you because somebody hit a home run the night before or somebody took too long. And he was, sometimes played middle infield, and he would have to take some of those spikes at second base. And, he talked to me about the fact that one time, because I remember him getting into a scrape and it was over either sign stealing or somebody sliding too hard at second base. And he talked to me about these things and how Japanese baseball is really subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And Major League Baseball is just out there for everyone to see. And these ridiculous unwritten rules we always hear about, it's just not as big a deal out here. And part of that is because of the way they play the game, and we spoke about it when we talked about the rule change last week for the slides at second base, which is a lot of guys just peel off anyway, so you don't have a lot of guys getting taken out in the middle of the infield, and so you don't have to have a pitcher plunking guys to get guys back for that. And home runs, I don't think that
you know, pimping home runs is, let's do it, babe.
Yeah, and bat flips and all that stuff, that's just part of the game. And Alex Ramirez used to do his little home run dances in front of the camera with the Swallows, with the Giants, and with the Bay Stars. And, you know, he wouldn't do that in the States.
No. And people, Mark Kroon used to say, if you don't do it back home, don't do it here. And Alex Ramirez's answer to that, well, we ain't back home.
We're not back home. We're not in Kansas anymore.
No. Exactly. So that is certainly the way it works in Japan. Of course, in Japan, one of the customs is if you hit a batter, you're supposed to tip your cap, which led to the most glorious. So one of my favorite episodes, going back to Tuffy Rhodes when he was with the Kintetsu Buffaloes, Cebu Lions pitcher was pitching dangerously against the Buffaloes in about 2000 or 2001, and this lefty named Aoki Tuffy was on first base, and he hit Norihiro Nakamura, the next batter, the cleanup hitter. And Tuffy charged the mound from first base, and he was originally suspended, and his suspension was reduced because he said Aoki did not tip his cap.
Right. And another thing to take note of is a lot of the policing in the game, if somebody does something they're not supposed to do, and I think Takeshi Yamasaki, longtime Dragons player, then he went to Oryx and then was Rakuten, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
said a lot of the policing in the game is done by teammates, not yep. by opposing players. There's a seniority and a rank, and if you do something out of line, it's your teammates who get on you before the opponents do.
Said the guy who became infamous at Rock 10 for terrorizing his teammates.
Exactly. Yeah, he was one of the guys. He was a big old bear back there, ready to scratch and maul people for doing
Marty
the wrong
Brown
thing.
Used to. I mean, he was not a fan.
Okay. Well, we are all fans, and
we are
will,
indeed.
Hopefully, we will enjoy a great week of baseball. I anticipate that Tigers and Carp series to be really fun with the finale of that later today. So. Thanks a lot for the question, and we will. We always ask you to send questions to yakyujohn@gmail.com. You can hit us up at JBW Podcast on Twitter with the hashtag High Heat, or you can leave us a message on the Facebook page. Thanks a lot for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
Talk to you next week.